May we be helped to commence our afternoon service by singing together hymn number 61 to the tune of Trawden 425. Hymn number 61. 'Twas fixed in God's eternal mind, when his dear sons should mercy find. From everlasting he decreed, when every good should be conveyed. Determined was the manner how eternal favours he'd bestow. Yes, he decreed the very place where he would show triumphant grace. Yes, dearest Lord, 'tis my desire thy wise appointments to admire, and trace the footsteps of my God through every path in Zion's road. Hymn 61, tune Trawden 425.
Thank you. read together from the Holy Word of God in the first book of Samuel. The first book of Samuel, reading chapters 1 and 2, down to and including the 11th verse. First book of Samuel, chapter 1 and chapter 2, down to and including the 11th verse. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zaph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. But when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early, and worshipped before the Lord, and returned, and came to their house to Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice, and his vow. But Hannah went not up. For she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. And then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. When she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord, and as long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves of bread, and they that were hungry cease. So that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the bigger from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints. For the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces, out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed. And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. May the Lord bless his holy word unto us and help us to approach unto him in prayer. O thou kind and ever gracious Lord God, as thou hast spared us once more to enter into thy house, oh, we plead, Lord, that thou wouldst pave the way with thy mercy. Oh, reveal unto us that one mediator. Oh, that one that stands between in garments dyed in blood, that is he instead of us is seen as we approach to God. Oh, Lord, that thou would strengthen the faith thy people this afternoon, that thou wouldst be bringing us boldly to thy throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, may we be enabled to come, Lord, as the example set before us in thy word, to cast all our burdens upon thee, to trust also in thee, wait alone upon thee. Thou art the God of our salvation, the Saviour of thy people Israel, whose arm is not shorter that it cannot save, neither is thine ear weary that it cannot hear. Oh, we plead, Lord, thou wouldst bow down thine ear this afternoon, that thou wouldst attend unto thy poor people once more in mercy and in grace, that thou wouldst visit us with thy salvation and make the place of thy feet glorious. Lord, we plead that thou wouldst bless us, we found within thy house this afternoon. Lord, we have nothing to plead but the precious shed blood of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. No merit to stand it of ourselves. Lord, we're sinners. Our very best is died with sin. Our all is nothing worth. We bring sin, Lord, into thy house and we mix sin with all we do. Ah, Lord, we have to confess, so often filled with unbelief and doubts and fears. Oh, we cast dishonour on our Lord and contradict thy gracious word. Ah, Lord, what right have we to stand before you this afternoon? Ah, Lord, we fail to live according to thine honour and thy glory. We fail, Lord, to walk in thy ways. We want our own ways. There is still that root of rebellion, Lord, that old nature which will not have this mantle reign over us. Oh, we plead, Lord, thou wouldst be arising this afternoon and strengthening us with strength in the inner man, helping us to crucify the old man of flesh. Helping us, Lord, to look alone to Jesus and finding in him strength, everlasting strength. Oh, we plead, Lord, thou wouldst help us this afternoon to believe in Jesus, to wait only upon him, Oh, that he might be our all, the joy and the rejoicing of our heart, our strength, our salvation. Oh, that glorious consolation, full and free. Bless, Lord, thy word that was before the people this morning, that which was read, may it be bringing forth fruit in the hearts of thy people. Lord, we plead that thou wouldst give help this afternoon in the preaching of the word. Oh, that the word, Lord, might be thy word, owned and blessed by thy Spirit in the hearts of thy people. Ah, Lord, the application is all of thee. Her power belongeth unto thee and to thee alone. And oh, thou hast wisely appointed it that no flesh should glory in thy presence, but that all the glory should redound to thy free grace, to thy glorious name alone. So, Lord, we plead as helpless instruments, oh, that we might be in thy hand, and that, Lord, thou wouldst apply the word with thy power, that none may be sent empty away. Thy people might be instructed in the things of righteousness, built up in their most holy faith, led out of self, caused to cease from man whose breath is in his nostrils, and brought to look alone to Jesus, to plead the precious blood and the righteousness of Jesus alone. Lord, we plead that thou wouldst keep the door of our lips, help us to rightly divide thy word of truth. Pour in, Lord, that there might be that pouring out. Deliver us from the enticing words of man's wisdom. Oh, help us, Lord, to preach faithfully the whole counsel of God. We'd ask, Lord, that thou wouldst deliver us from setting any of thy little ones down short of Christ, or cutting off, Lord, any fearful ones. Oh, we plead that thou wouldst help us to preach the gospel. Give help, Lord, in the day, strengthen our brother in weakness, Lord, that thou wouldst continue to grant healing and strength in mercies, that thou wouldst bless, Lord, the hymns this afternoon, thy people may be enabled to sing them with understanding hearts, and that praise might wait for thee in Zion. We'd ask, Lord, that thou wouldst remember each one that's gathered, thou knowest how they've come. Lord, we plead that thou wouldst open their hearts to receive the word. May there be hunger and thirst in the pure, a desire after Jesus. Lord, we plead that thou wouldst remember the children and young people. Put thy fear in their hearts even this day. Cause them, Lord, to feel their need and to cry with thee for pardon and for mercy. Any, Lord, that are dead, interested in their sins, any that have no knowledge of their need of thee, any, Lord, that draw near with their lips but their heart is found afar off, having a form of religion, a name by which they live but they're dead. Oh, we plead, Lord, this afternoon that thou wouldst be meeting dead sinners, awakening them into life, bringing from darkness unto life, light, turning, Lord, their feet to Zion's hill, and causing them to cry even this afternoon, oh, sirs, what must we do to be saved? Lord, leave us not to the self-deception of our old nature. Ah, for the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? Oh, if we have not loved before, Lord, help us to begin today. Make us right, keep us right. Be with us, Lord, in all the affairs and the concerns of this life, the troubles and the joys, Lord, the things that are before us tomorrow, known and unknown to us. Lord, give us grace to know thy will and grace to do them. Oh, we plead that thou would strengthen us, Lord, that thou would lead us forth by that right way, that we might go to a city of habitation. May we be enabled to commit all our way this day into thy hands, to trust also in thee, to prove, Lord, thou wilt bring it to pass. We plead that thou wouldst bless, Lord, the little church here, be with them as they may gather on Tuesday, and, Lord, week by week, thy blessing might rest upon thy servants in this pulpit, thy word might be owned and blessed, and, Lord, that there might be signs following the preaching of the word, that thou wouldst, O Lord, be building up the church, in numbers, Lord, but building them up in love and communion to one another, and in their most holy faith and grace, and the favour of the Lord. Remember, Lord, thy servant wherever he labours this day, bless him in his labours, grant him souls for his hire, and bring him back in peace and safety, Lord, at the appointed time. Remember, Lord, all thy servants wherever they labour this day. We plead, Lord, thou wouldst bless thy word to the ends of the earth. Remember thy persecuted church, thy isolated people. Lord, those without one of thy servants to minister unto them, those, Lord, who do not have a pastor and under-shepherd set over them. Lord, remember this place. Oh, we plead that thou wouldst yet grant them a pastor according to thine own heart. That, Lord, as thou hast watched over them to pluck up and to pull down, thou wouldst yet watch over them to build up and to prosper, Lord, thy word here and in this town. Lord, we plead that could it be thy good pleasure, thou wouldst yet have a purpose of mercy to never dying souls. Oh Lord, thousands lost. Oh, we have to bow before thy sovereignty. Oh, the wonders, Lord, of thy mercy and thy grace, undeserved. We cannot demand, Lord. But oh, we will come and plead. Oh, could it be thy good pleasure that thy mercy might yet be magnified in this place, in the salvation of wretched sinners. Lord, have mercy upon our land, bless our king this day, the royal household, our prime minister of the government, Lord, the confusion that abounds, the darkness, sickness, Lord, sanctify it to the good of their never dying souls. Thy judgments, Lord, that have been upon us, oh, that we might hear the rod, that we might bow unto it, that, Lord, we might be turned unto thee, repentant, seeking thy grace. Lord, we plead thou wouldst be with us while life may endure. Oh, preserve us, keep us, Lord, unto the end. Prepare us, Lord, for that dread moment. Oh, may Jesus' blood this day be our only plea. May we see Jesus. Oh, who must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet and the last enemy is dead, death swallowed up in victory. Lord, we plead that thou wouldst help us to hold on our way. May we be looking up, Lord, readers of the signs of the times, ready, watching and waiting lest we enter into temptation. Lord, we plead that thou wouldst bless us with truly thankful hearts, thy many mercies unto us. Oh, thy favour which knows no bound in sending thine own dear Son into this world. Lord, thy remembrance of us in our low estate, the hearing of our cries, O sinners, but Lord, that thou dost condescend to hear the cry for mercy and attend unto it. Thou hast spared not thine own dear Son, but freely given him up for us all. His precious person, Lord, his blood, his righteousness, that glorious name. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Oh, we plead, Lord, that thou wouldst grant us those eyes of faith to behold him this afternoon, Lord, lost in wonder, love and praise. Oh, that we might be brought, Lord, to truly crown his lovely head, to glorify thy great and thy most holy name. Lord, thy faithfulness, thy patience lengthened out, thy covenant ordered in all things ensure, thy righteous dealings with us, Lord, for every proof, thou art too wise to err, and oh, too good to be unkind. We would, O Lord, desire to give thee thanks, and to glorify thy great and thy most holy name. And Lord, for all thou hast done for us, individually, Lord, thy watchful care and protection over us, thy provision for us day by day, as families, Lord, for the blessings that thou hast bestowed upon us. Ah, Lord, and even in times of trouble. Ah, that something secret which sweetens all. Ah, covenant love, dying love. Lord, we would desire to give thee thanks and to rejoice in thy dear name this afternoon. Oh, may not thy labours, thy mercies lie forgotten in unthankfulness and without praises die. But help us, Lord, to glorify thy great and thy most holy name, to confess we are nothing. Thou art our all. Our eyes, Lord, are up unto thee. Our cries would be unto thee. Hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place. Lord, forgive. Wash us truly from all our iniquities and remember us for good. Help us to sing thy praise and draw near as we would turn unto thy word. And bless us, Lord, as we're found within thy house. Oh, give, Lord, fresh supplies of grace. Help us to worship thee. We'd ask it all for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
The notices for the opening week are that, God willing, Mr. Graham Cottenham is engaged to preach here on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Bernard Burgess next Lord's Day. And today we take our monthly collection. May we now be helped to continue our worship, singing together hymn number 76. Hymn 76, tune Stockport 419. There is a period known to God when all his sheep, redeemed by blood, shall leave the hateful ways of sin, turn to the fold and enter in. at peace with hell, with God at war. In sin's dark maze they wander far, indulge their lust and still go on, as far from God as sheep can run. Glory to God, they ne'er shall rove beyond the limits of his love. Fenced with Jehovah's shells and wheels, firm as the everlasting hills. Hymn 76, tune Stockport, 419.
Lord would help me this afternoon and grant you prayer for attention. I direct you to a text you'll find in the first book of Samuel, chapter 2, and read in the 9th verse. The first book of Samuel, chapter 2, and read in the 9th verse. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The first book of Samuel, chapter 2, verse 9, he will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. It is particularly to the first clause that I wish to direct your attention. He will keep the feet of his saints. The story of Hannah is well known unto us, I'm sure. How Hannah prayed for that child, and that child was given, Samuel. And according to the vow she gave that boy unto the Lord, for this child I prayed. And the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. And Hannah prayed. Now, text this afternoon is part of that glorious prayer that Hannah prayed. Oh, a prayer of praise. And those two things in the life of the Lord's people, they're difficult to separate. Prayer and praise, they go together. Can we have one without the other? Oh, the apostle says that in all things with prayer, by prayer, with thanksgiving, to make our supplications known unto God. Our friends, a solemn thing, and if in our religion we can separate out prayer and praise in that regard, a solemn thing if our prayers never have any note of the praise that is found in Hannah's prayer, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord." But what was Hannah rejoicing in? An answer to prayer? Yes, friends, an answer to prayer. But what was the answer to that prayer? Just the boy Samuel? Just that her natural fertility problems had been overturned by the Lord and she'd been given a child? Friends, I feel there is something deeper here, and it is seen in this prayer of Hannah. And it has been my burden of late upon my spirit. Friends, the vast difference between providence and grace. Don't get me wrong, if you know a God of grace, you will undoubtedly know a God of providence. But friends, the world see wonderful things come to pass, but they never know the God of grace. And the great thing is to know the God of grace. The great concern of the Lord's people this afternoon will be to know their interest in the precious Saviour's blood, to know that Jesus came into this world not only to die for sinners, but to die for them. Friends, is that your urgent prayer this afternoon? Is that your ardent desire? Is that your chief concern, to know that Jesus was crucified for you? Do you feel that everything else in this life can fall before that? Everything else that you may desire, everything else that you might feel you need in the things of this life, and that you may need them, and those needs may be great. But if you know not that Jesus died for you, if you do not know that he is your Saviour, then even if you had all things, you would not be satisfied. Even if you had all of the things that this world could give you, there would still be a massive void. The one thing needful. And that is chiefly, I believe, the centre of this prayer. The one thing needful. And my reason for saying that this afternoon is you'll find that this prayer is echoed in two other portions of Scripture in the Word of God. The first you'll find in the book of Psalms. There in the opening of the Hallelujah Psalms, which were sung at the Passover, the 113th Psalm. Praise ye the Lord. Begins in the same note. Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord." But as that prayer goes on, it comes down to this. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the prince of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. And you'll find the language of Hannah's prayer is echoed there in that 113th Psalm. Now, friends, the context of that psalm is important. We said it was one of the hallelujah psalms, the psalms they sang at the Passover. Ah, friends, what was the centre of the Passover? Oh, the blood sprinkled upon the doorpost. The promise, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Natural deliverance from Egypt? Yes. But ah, friends, was it not also spiritual deliverance? Ah, the promise which hang upon the seed of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. The precious blood shed. Ah, the Lord giving them deliverance. I believe, if I remember rightly, I preached from those words here, that Passover ordinance in the past. Ah, friends, is it your great concern to know that sheltering place beneath the precious blood of Jesus? For he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the second place where you'll find this prayer echoed is in the Magnificat, in the Song of Mary. Oh, but she sang after the angel came and declared unto her that she was to have a son. That which was to be conceived in her by the Holy Ghost, our holy thing, was to bear that glorious name, Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. The same opening note. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Ah, friends, what is the centre of this song of Mary? Oh, the Saviour. The Saviour. And who was the Saviour? The seed of the woman. Oh, the seed of the woman, the promised seed that had been promised in that promise that God spake in the Garden of Eden, the seed of the woman shall bruise thy head. Now that the serpent should be destroyed by the seed of the woman. And now, ah, the promised seed have come, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And down through the ages in the history of Israel, ah, the godly parents, they looked for the coming of the seed of the woman. Oh, the firstborn, was it a son? Ah, was it the Christ child? Was it the appointed Messiah? They were looking for him, they were waiting for him. Oh, we find those who down through the ages, they were watching and waiting for the seed of the woman. Ah, friends, in the day when Jesus was born, there were Simeon and Anna. They were waiting for the redemption of the Lord. They were looking for that man-child to be brought into the Lord's house. They were expecting it. Oh, the promise had been given. But you can trace it back, ah, friends. The seed of the woman in every generation. Dear Hezekiah is another example of this. Ah, friends, the seed to come from that royal line. There is Hezekiah. Oh, to be cut off. No son. No heir. Oh, where is the promise? Where is the promise? But the promise was to be fulfilled. Hezekiah was spared. Manasseh was born. Ah, friends, the seed of the woman was to come. And I believe that is really the secret of Hannah's prayer here. Hannah's song of praise. Ah, friends, her great concern. Ah, she was looking for the seed of the woman. That was the burden. Not just natural fertility. Oh, but that the seed of the woman might be given. That her Saviour might come. Now, Samuel was not that Saviour. No, but he was another token, another generation. The seed would come. Oh, Jesus would be born. And so in this prayer we find bound up, yes, thanksgiving for the Lord's answer to prayer. But that faith which would lay hold upon the seed of the woman which was to come, that faith that would lay hold upon that blood sprinkled, that blood shed for sinners, as is typified in the Passover night, and is seen there upon the cross of Calvary, as there Mary's son, David's son, Abraham's son, oh, the seed of David according to the flesh, he who was made of a woman and made under the law, suffering, bleeding, dying for the sins of his people. Ah, friend, this afternoon, are you looking? Are you looking for the same salvation as Hannah was looking for? Are you looking no longer to him that is to come, but to him that has come? Oh, the dear man, Christ Jesus, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, and dwelling among us, that he should be the salvation of his people, the salvation of his Israel in every generation. Now, friends, you read through this prayer in a spiritual sense, and you'll find everything centres in Jesus Christ. Now, it's in him that the beggar is lifted up out of the dunghill and set among princes. Now, friends, that's the work of redemption, isn't it? To redeem us from the place we've been brought to by sin. Now, to take us out of the miry clay and to set our feet upon a rock. To put a new song in our mouth, even of praise unto the Lord. Oh, friends, what is that rock but Jesus Christ? He raises up the poor out of the dust to make them inherit the throne of glory. Ah, the work of Jesus Christ. Ah, friends, the filling of the hungry soul. The life given to the dead. He killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. Ah, the Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. And at the last you see, where does Hannah end? On that glorious note, he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointing. Oh, everlasting crowns are to crown the head of King Jesus. Oh, for the wonders, redemption that he has brought in. Now, friends, I make no apology for that introduction, because in coming to our text this afternoon, it's important we rightly understand the subject of this prayer. Oh, what Hannah's great concern was, he will keep the feet of his saints. Oh, friends, this is the one that she would exalt. This is the one that she's looking for. This is the one whom her faith is centred in. He. Ah, who? The Lord God, yes, but the Lord God as he is Emmanuel, God with us. The eternal Son of God, yes, but the eternal Son of God as he is the Word made flesh and dwelling among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of his grace of each we received, and grace for grace. He. Ah, friends, this one that keeps the feet of his saints, this glorious he. Ah, he is none less than the eternal Son of God. Oh, he is God. Ah, friends, he has everlasting strength. All power is given unto me, he says, in heaven and in earth. He is the keeper of the feet of his saints this afternoon. All power. All power. Ah, friends, he has strength to hold you up when falling. Ah, friends, he has strength to lift you up when down. Oh, can you do less? Can you bear this afternoon with less than him to be your keeper? Ah, friends and helpers, they may fail. They may fall with you. But here is one who is everlasting strength. He will keep the feet of his saints. Ah, underneath are the everlasting arms. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Ah, friends, are you thankful for the fact? Oh, the strength of those arms. He will keep the feet of his saints. Ah, friends, he who is the eternal Lord God, always the same. Always the same. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Oh, fainteth not, neither is weary. Ah, friends, he's always the same. Was he strong yesterday? He's strong today. He'll be strong tomorrow. Ah, did you prove his mercy yesterday? He's merciful today. And he'll be full of mercy tomorrow. He is always the same. Ah, men, they come and go. They change their minds about things. They may fall in and out with you. But this one, who keeps the feet of his saints, he is always the same. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today and forever. Ah, friend, this one, who is, as the hymn writer puts it, too wise to err. And oh, too good to be unkind. He is wisdom. No searching of his understanding. Ah, friends, perhaps this afternoon you're saying with Jacob that the Lord has forgotten you. Ah, your way is hidden from the Lord. Ah, you wonder whether he's really keeping your feet. The way that he's leading you appears strange and mysterious. And perhaps he seems to have left you to fall. Perhaps he seems to have brought you only into trouble. You say, can he really be keeping the feet, my feet? Ah, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. Ah, friends, there's his strength, fainteth not, neither is weary. And here's his wisdom. There is no searching of his understanding. No searching of his understanding. Ah, as for God, his way is perfect. Ah, friends, he keeps the feet of his saints in a perfect way. Ah, at times he may leave his people to apparently wander. At times he may appear to lead them to fall. But why? Oh, to make us realise that it's he alone that keeps the feet of his saints, for by strength shall no man prevail. Ah, friends, has the Lord in his wisdom been allowing you to stand in your own strength for a little while, and now, ah, he's brought you crashing down. Your strength is utter weakness. Oh, did he leave you for a time to think that you could keep alive your own soul? But now you find deadness. Ah, he's been teaching you no man can keep alive his own soul. Ah, friend, his wisdom. This one, you see, that keeps the feet of his saints. He's all wise. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what he's doing this afternoon. Ah, nothing less than him. No searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. Oh, to the weak and the weary he renews strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. He will keep the feet of his saints. He who is all wisdom, no searching of his understanding. You know, friends, you may not understand the way the Lord is dealing with you. He says, what I do now thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. But we cannot put a pin in it. Friends, there are no questions that we can ask about it, because his way is perfect. His way is perfect, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. But the hymn writer doesn't stop at his wisdom, does he? Too wise to err, too good to be unkind. Friends, this one is goodness, all good, no bad. No bad. He's full of love towards his people. He loves them with an everlasting love. Friends, because he loves them, he's working everything out for their good, for his honour and for his glory, to bring them at last to himself. Goodness written over the way that he leads his people. Friends, love mixed with all his dealings with them. Even when the way that he's leading us in may appear to be cross and contrarious against our better judgment, the flesh may rise up and question it. The flesh may wonder at the way. Friends, but does faith approve it? Well, why? Because we prove. Love is mixed with all. Love is mixed with all. He will keep the feet of his saints. Friends, he who is righteous. All his dealings with us, utterly righteous. He led them forth by a right way. There's the keeping of the feet of these saints. He led them forth by a right way. Friends, what does that mean? It means this, a perfectly straight way. A perfectly straight way. That which is righteous, no deviation. Absolutely straight. Friends, this is the way he leads his people, and the way that he keeps the feet of his people in, a righteous way. A straight way. Doesn't seem so to reason, it doesn't seem so in experience. Our way may appear at times to be very crooked, but what do we read of that way? He maketh the rough places a plain, the crooked places straight. Every valley shall be exalted, filled in, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. That's the way that he leads his people. A plain way. A right way. Friends, if we could see God light in God's light, if we could see his view of the way that he's leading us this afternoon, we would find that it was absolutely straight. It was absolutely flat. No obstacles. He. You see, friends, he has the power to lead us in that way. He has the power to make that way. He has the power to bring us and to keep us in that way. He. He will keep the feet of his saints. And our friends, remember that he is described as being the author and the finisher of these people's faith. Jesus, the author and the finisher of his people's faith, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. Friends, he's at the beginning of the way. He begins with us. We don't begin with him. And our friends, he will not let us go. Oh, the way will end with him. Father, I will these also mouths give me, be with me where I am. That's the end of the way, isn't it? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, where I am, there you may be also. Ah, friends, that's the one that is sung of in this prayer, he. The one who has an interest in the beginning of the way, the one that has an interest in the end of the way, his glory is at stake. And ah, friends, he will keep the feet of his saints every step of the way, that at last they should be with him in glory. He will keep the feet of his saints. And this is the only way to go, isn't it? To keep our eyes on Jesus fixed, and there our hopes to stay. Ah, Gadsby said his goodness he will make to pass before us in the way. Oh, the apostle, in writing to the Hebrews, he writes to them because they were going backward. He writes to them because they are wandering. He warns them. Oh, remember the generation that fell in the wilderness because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into rest, some of us should seem to fall short of it. Oh, he encourages them in the way that the Lord has brought the faithful, those that have trusted in him, down through the ages, brought safely through, by faith. By faith, they walked with God. By faith, he kept them in the way. By faith, he brought them to a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And our friend there in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, he sums it all up, doesn't he? Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Our friends, he, the only way to go, you know. Oh, it's the only way of safety, is looking unto him. Ah, friends, are you looking unto him this afternoon? He will keep the feet of his saints. Is he your only hope? You're proving by strength shall no man prevail. Ah, you're proving by your own wisdom you're making so many mistakes. You're going backwards rather than forwards. There's only one way. It's looking unto him. Looking unto Jesus. Ah, the author and the finisher of our faith. The one that's gone before. The good shepherd, when he putteth forth his sheep, he goeth out before them. He leadeth me. He leadeth me, says the psalmist. Ah, friends, he can only lead you this afternoon if you've got your eyes on him, if he's going before and you're letting him go before. Submissive to his will, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. He will keep the feet of his saints. Ah, friends, if you feel your need of this keeping this afternoon, if you feel the need of being brought by the right way, this is the only place to look, to him. To him. The hope of Israel. Ah, the promised Messiah, the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, he whose blood is deliverance for his people, by whose blood they're brought out of Egypt. Ah, friends, by whom they're brought into the promised land. They're brought out by his blood, they came into the promised land, led by the fiery cloudy pillar. Ah, it was as the ark went down into Jordan, the Jordan's icy waves were divided, and the children of Israel were brought over dry ground into the promised land, safe at last, from beginning to end. The journey began with him, it ended with him, and he was with them every step of the way. Ah, friends, as he was so in type to the children of Israel of old in the wilderness, so he is so in reality with every one of his dear people, with them in the beginning. It's he that puts us in the way. It's he that seeks us. Ah, Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to save my soul from danger interposed his precious blood. He leadeth me. Ah, and he will bring us safe to glory at last. It's all in him. He will keep the feet of his saints. But then, friends, secondly in our text, we want to come to that word saints, because perhaps that's a big stumbling block to you this afternoon. He will keep the feet of his saints. Ah, you say yes. This is a problem. The word keeps going over my head, keeps leaving me behind. You perhaps think that this text is applicable to the minister in the pulpit. Oh, friends, you wouldn't if you knew the minister. You may think this is applicable to church members, but you cannot find any room in it for yourself because of this word saint. Ah, what hope is there for you? You're a poor sinner. He will keep the feet of his saints. Ah, friends, we want to just come for a moment to what a saint is. Is there room in this text for you this afternoon? What is a saint? He will keep the feet of his saints. Oh, it comes from the same root as the word that we translate sanctified. Ah, friends, what does sanctified mean? Yes, in one sense it means to be made holy, but in its fundamental it means this, to be set apart. A saint is set apart. Your opening hymn had it. Ah, friends, those counsels of Jehovah when the Lord set his people apart. Ah, but who did he set apart? Sinners. Sinners. Children of wrath even as others. Children of disobedience. You were sometimes darkness. Dead in trespasses and sins, afar off. Strangers, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Strangers from the covenants of promise. Oh, friends, these are the ones. These are how they're described, these set-apart ones. He said, I came not to call this righteous but sinners to repentance. Jesus, a friend of publicans and sinners. Ah, friends, they were publicans and sinners, but he set them apart. He said, ye are my friends. Ye are my friends. Ah, friends, he sought them to be his saints. He sought them to be his saints. Ah, this language this afternoon. Every one of these saints. Oh, they were wretched sinners, as the hymn says. Oh, brethren, those who come to bliss. Oh, they come through that great tribulation. But those who are winners of that endless life. Ah, friends, they began here, they're wretched sinners. Wretched sinners. Lost. And ruined in the fall, but chosen and set apart by God. Chosen in mercy, they didn't deserve it. Chosen in grace, chosen, called to be saints. Ah, friends, this afternoon, if you feel to be nothing but a sinner, oh, there's still room for you in this text, because that's what saints are, by themselves, sinners. But sinners set apart by God. Now, friends, we want to be clear, these that are saints, they are made holy. They are made holy. Our friends, they are already made holy. Saints this afternoon, they stand justified in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Our friends, those filthy rags taken off and the precious righteousness of Christ imputed. Ah, that blood that cleanses from all sin. God says, concerning his people, ye are complete in him. Ye are complete in him. That's holiness, isn't it? Completion is holiness, wholeness. Ah, friends, the Lord's people are really saints. Ah, themselves, they still find they've got a body of sin and death. In themselves, they still find nothing but sin. They feel most unworthy to be called saints. They wonder whether this title can ever apply to them, but as they stand in Jesus Christ, they're made perfect. Ah, there's no condemnation. No condemnation to them which believe, to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Ah, friends, in bringing this word down low this afternoon, we must not leave you to think the Lord's people are not really made saints, not really made holy. Ah, friends, they do not stand justified in Jesus Christ. Oh, but you see, friends, there is a mystery of the life of grace. Oh, the Apostle Paul, he had those two sides, didn't he? You read in Romans 7, the old man struggling. Oh, wretched man that I am, the good that he would he did not, the evil that he would not that he did. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? But our friends, come into Romans 8, and what do we find? Paul, as he stands in Jesus Christ, upon no other merit but the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Ah, friends, he's got a glorious hope. No condemnation. No condemnation. All things working together for good. He will keep the feet of his saints. But our friends, these saints, oh, they have to wrestle. They have to mourn. Ah, friends, that's the greatest mark of these saints, this side of glory. Ah, they would be holy. Do you know the change the grace has made? Ah, friends, once you did not care about holiness. Once your only interest was to be conformed to this world, to the pleasure of this world, to be found like your worldly colleagues and your worldly friends. They were the ones you were trying to measure up to, but now, oh, your desires have been changed, your prospects have been changed. Ah, friends, now there's only one that you want to measure up to. Ah, you're saying this afternoon, oh, I would be a saint. I would be a saint. You are, as the hymn book has it over that paraphrase of Isaac Watts of Psalm 119, breathing after holiness. Oh, that the Lord would guide my ways to keep his statutes still. Oh, that my God would grant me grace to know and do his will. Oh, send thy spirit down to write thy law upon my heart. Nor let my tongue indulge deceit, nor act the liar's part. From vanity turn off mine eyes, let no corrupt design, nor covetous desires arise within this soul of mine. Order my footsteps by thy word. And make my heart sincere, let sin have no dominion, Lord, but keep my conscience clear. Make me to walk in thy commands. 'Tis a delightful road, nor let my head or heart or hands offend against my God. That's the prayer of saints, you know, friends. And you wouldn't have to pray that prayer if you weren't a sinner. If you were able to keep yourself this afternoon, rather than the truth of our text, for by strength will no man prevail, you wouldn't need to pray for the Lord to keep you. You wouldn't need to pray for the Lord to help you. Ah, you wouldn't have to gasp and groan day by day, Lord help me, strengthen me. Oh, turn off my eyes from vanity, keep me, Lord, keep me from sin, keep me from idols, keep the door of my lips, stop me gossiping, stop me backbiting, stop me lying. Ah, friends, what solemn creatures we are, and the Lord's people fear it and they know it well. They need this keeper, you see. Ah, these saints are entirely dependent upon this keeper. Who is this, says the Song of Solomon. Who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Ah, this is the church, leaning. Ah, friends, they feel the need of this keeping, they feel the need of this upholding, they feel the need of grace, dependent alone upon grace. And he says, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in thy weakness. Ah, friends, is that your only hope this afternoon? Is that your plea? Lord, thy grace, more grace. Thy strength, more strength. Hold me, keep me. Ah, friends, you see, that's the evidence of saints. You would be holy. And therefore you have to pray for the Lord to make you holy, to keep you holy. You have to pray for the Lord to subdue old nature, to strengthen you in the inner man. You have to pray for more grace. Ah, friends, it's wrestling your way along, fighting the good fight of faith. Oh, you have to put on the whole armour of God. He will keep the feet of his saints. Ah, friends, this keeping, you see. This keeping, he calls you to fight. But he gives you the armour. Ah, friends, he sustains you in the fight. He strengthens you. But it's a battle. And these saints, ah, friends, they wear their battle scars. Who are these? See these saints in glory. Who are these and whence came they? These are they which have come out of great tribulation. Ah, friends, tribulation with the world, yes. Tribulation with the devil, yes. But ah, friends, the greatest tribulation with themselves, with their old nature. Resting against self. Mighty enemies without, much mighty within. Ah, who are these? Whence came they? These are they which have come out of great tribulation, washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Ah, friends, these saints, they only have one righteousness. They only have one glory, it's Jesus, and Jesus only. Ah, read the third chapter of Zechariah's prophecy. Ah, friends, there was a saint, Joshua the son of Jozadak, but filthy garments, but the Lord said, take them off. Ah, let him be clothed with that white robe. Ah, that fair mitre to be put upon his head, holiness unto the Lord. Ah, friends, that's the only way of sainthood. Ah, and that is the privilege of the saints, those who are called to be made holy by the grace of God and the grace of God alone. He will keep the feet of his saints. Ah, friends, is there room for you in this text after all? You don't feel worthy to be in this text because you're a sinner. Ah, you do not feel to be holy because you're having to mourn over your sin, but you would be holy. And you're wrestling against for that holiness. Ah, friends, you are fighting. That fighting at times may appear to be very weak. Ah, the burden of a sigh, the falling of a tear. over sin, failed resolutions. Our friends are grown. The enemy's coming again. You've fallen, stumbled. Oh dear Asaph. Our friends, what did he say? So foolish was I and ignorant, I was a beast before thee. As for me, my feet had well nigh gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. Our friends, was he a saint? Oh, but here our Asaph opens that 73rd Psalm. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. Our friends, can we read that as Asaph saying that the Lord wasn't good to him because he fell? Because he was a sinner? No. Our friends, is Asaph not saying the Lord was good to me? Because I was one of these saints, one of these chosen, because he chose me in eternity past, therefore he kept me. I fell, but I could not utterly fall. I was cast down, but I could not be destroyed. Perplexed, but I could not be in despair. Why? Because God is good to Israel. Good to those that he's chosen. Even to those that are of a clean heart, yes. Ah, friends, where he gives that seed of grace, a new man. That seed remains in us. John says we cannot sin. Ah, friends, there's a sainthood, you see. Not what we have in self, but that which is given us. A new heart, a new spirit will I put within you. Ah, friends, that seed which cannot sin, but abides. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such a clean heart. Therefore we may fall. Old man may get very strong at times. Ah, the warfare may seem to go against us. We look at the world, drawn away idols, we fall before them. Ah, but friends, that seed within us, it remains. We can't be lost. We can't be lost. Ah, foolish and ignorant of the beast. We fall, but Christ is the keeper of his saints. He will keep the feet of his saints. Ah, though we fall, we can't be cut off forever. Ah, though we're cast down, we can't be destroyed. Though we're perplexed, we can't be brought into despair. He will keep the feet of his saints. But then, friends, this keeping of the feet of his saints, what he does for his people, he keeps their feet. He keeps their feet. Just to keep our thoughts in order, our mind went to that passage in the epistle, the first epistle of Peter, and in the 5th chapter, where really Peter preached a sermon on the keeping of the feet of the Lord's people. You read that epistle, it concerns how the Lord keeps his people in tribulation. And we've said, what is the greatest cause of tribulation? The world, yes, the devil, yes, but ourselves. Ourselves. Oh, that I had not of myself, said Rutherford. There Peter writes to the saints in tribulation. He comes there to conclusion, to sum up the whole epistle. In the 10th verse of the 5th chapter, but the God of grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, hath made us saints, after that he hath suffered a while. Slipped and fallen, been troubled on every hand. Make you perfect. And how did he make you perfect? By establishing you, by strengthening you, by settling you. Friends, this is how he keeps the feet of his saints. He makes them, he establishes them, he strengthens them, and he settles them. Friends, he establishes them. What does he do? He brings those feet to stand in Christ. Friends, he puts them upon a rock. He lifted them up out of the miry clay. He sets our feet upon a rock. That's where the keeping begins, what you've been singing together in your middle hymn. And turns their feet to Zion's hill. That's establishing of these feet. Bringing you out of the world. Bringing you into Christ. Putting your feet in that narrow way. Entering in through the straight gate. That way that leadeth unto life. Friends, this is where the keeping begins, you see. He puts us in Christ. He puts us in Christ. Friends, we were put there in eternity past. Separated in Christ, but in time. Oh, the appointed time rolls on apace, not to repose, but to call by grace. Friends, to change the heart, renew the will, and turn the feet to Zion's hill. Do you know something of this? Keeping the feet, your feet. Can you look back? Yes, your feet have gone. Gone far into the world. But the Lord turned those feet and brought them back. brought you to look to Christ, brought you to cry for mercy. No, now suddenly you've got a new king, a new power reigning, Jesus. It's, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Ah, friends, do you now feel there's one thing needful? Is there one thing you're seeking after? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He's kept your feet. He's turned your feet. Ah, friend, He's brought you to seek after Christ. He's put you in that narrow way. Ah, friend, is heaven now that which you're thirsting after, that which you look forward to? Oh, He gives dying grace in a dying hour. Don't get me wrong, I wouldn't want to put old heads on young shoulders this afternoon in that sense. But ah, friends, has your affections been changed, your desires been changed? Now you prove nothing in this world can really satisfy. He's put you in Christ. Oh, as we're united to Him, we breathe different air, we think different thoughts, we desire different things. Our friends, to be established in Christ. That's how He keeps His saints. Oh, He puts them in Christ. But then, friends, He strengthens the feet of His saints. Oh, Christ holds them up. Oh, that which is put upon a foundation, it takes its strength from the foundation. Oh, everything that's put upon the foundation, how weak it is of itself. If you put that on the ground without a foundation, it will quickly sink. Quickly begin to crack, quickly begin to fall apart. But the foundation gives strength to that which is built upon it. Ah, friend, if your feet are in Christ this afternoon, He is your strength. My strength is made perfect in my weakness. Ah, He strengthens you. Strengthens your faith in the midst of the storm to lay hold upon Him. Ah, friends, strengthens your hope in Him. That He has gone to prepare a place for you. That He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Strengthens you to rest upon the promises which are yea and amen in Jesus Christ, to believe. Ah, that everything that He has promised must come to pass. That He will supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Ah, friends, is that your strength this afternoon? Jesus' blood, your only plea. Oh, can you say with the hymn writer, I can no denial take when I pray for Jesus' sake? That's strength, isn't it, at the throne of grace? Strength to wrestle and to prevail. Ah, friends, He strengthens His saints as they have to rest alone upon Jesus. Ah, friends, it's not weakness, is it, to have to cast ourselves alone upon Christ? That's the secret of the Lord's people's strength. When are we strength? When are we strong? When we're weak. Ah, friends, when we're having to rest alone upon Him, when we have to look alone to Him. When are we wise? When we're brought to the end of our own wisdom and we're brought to cry, Lord, oh, appear, lead me, teach me. Ah, He strengthens the feet of His people. He keeps them by strengthening them, by making them strong. Ah, enables them to stay with the apostle, in themselves as weak as worms. How can poor believers stand? But what did the apostle say? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Ah, friends, now we're emboldened to go in the difficult pathway. Now we're emboldened to walk through darkness. Ah, we fear no evil. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, they strengthen me. Ah, we go forth in boldness. We go forth strengthened. Ah, as we're found in Christ, He will keep the feet of His saints. Ah, oh, friends, He settles us. He settles us. Oh, you know, settling of a building upon its foundations. Ah, oh, friends, particularly those buildings round here, those wooden buildings, they were designed to settle upon their foundations. The wood was designed to move, to sink into the earth. That if the earth moved, the building would move with it. That was its strength. Ah, friends, to settle, to be brought to rest as a dead weight upon Christ. Ah, friends, yes, at the beginning of the way He establishes us, He puts us in Christ. We begin to feel strength from Him. But in the hardness of the way, He brings us to settle upon Him. Ah, friends, He's keeping you this afternoon by making you settle on Him. Weaning you of your own strength, weaning you of your own wisdom, making you feel your weakness, your helplessness. Ah, friends, He makes settling you on Christ this afternoon by temptations threatening round. Oh, by making you feel as Asaph. You see, Asaph was settled on Christ, wasn't he? Oh, friends, how was he settled there? By being drawn away by the world, being turned aside, being made to feel his weakness and his ignorance and his foolishness. Ah, but he brought him back to Christ. And what did he say? Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Ah, friends, is that where the Lord has brought you this afternoon? That's perfect strength, isn't it? Weaned of everything but Christ. No help in Christ, no but in Christ, no hope but in Christ. Ah, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. It is good for me to draw near to God. I put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Oh, this is the way the Lord brings his people, as he weans them. Weans them from themselves, from their own strength, from their own wisdom. As he weans you from your helpers. Weans you from the Lord's servants. Ah, friend, you may feel alone, but underneath the everlasting arms. Ah, and he makes you fall there. Makes you rest there. Makes you settle there upon the rock. Nowhere else to go. Nowhere else to flee, nowhere else to look but Jesus only. Jesus only. He will keep the feet of his saints. Ah, friends, he keeps them by bringing them to Christ and settling them in Christ, establishing them in Christ. He keeps them, friends, by strengthening them, holding them up in that way. Ah, you see, we stumble because we get weak knees, weak ankles. But ah, friends, here is strength. We're held up in the way. That we should go sure-footedly, that we should not fall and stumble. Ah, friends, he settles us. The only way. The only way. Ah, friends, there we cleave and cling unto him. He will keep the feet of his saints. Oh, we briefly touched upon it, but one more thought. He will keep the feet of his saints. Ah, he led them forth by right way. The good shepherd, he putteth forth his sheep. He goeth out before them. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Oh, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me. Ah, friends, is he leading you this afternoon? If he's leading you, he's keeping your feet. Ah, if you're going in your own way, if you're going in your own wisdom, ah, friends, expect to fall. But ah, if you've been brought to cry, Lord, what will thou me to do? If you've been brought to cast your burden upon the Lord, if you've been brought to commit your way unto the Lord and to trust also in him, ah, he will not deceive you, though you hardly of him do. He will never leave you, nor will let you quite leave him. And you'll prove his way is the best way. Ah, friends, his way is the perfect way, and his way is a way that's paved with love. Ah, what a beautiful thing it is. What a safe place. What a peaceful place. Oh, sweet to lie passive in his hands and know no will but his. Ah, friends, is that your sweetness this afternoon? The keeping power of him. Oh, that he spoiled you of all your own wisdom and spoiled you of all your own strength and brought you to cry unto him, Lord, what thou me to do? Oh, appear, Lord. Choose thou the way, but still lead on. Ah, friends, it's a safe way, isn't it? Because he will keep the feet of his saints. Ah, he'll keep them in life and bring them at last safe to glory and there. Oh, eternal safety, eternal peace. Ah, friends, he lives, to die no more. And he lives, as a hymn writer says, to bring his people there, to bring them safe to glory, keeping them every step of the way. The perseverance of the saints, not one of the righteous, can ever be lost. No, friends. Ah, and if you this afternoon are having to look alone to him, ah, wrestling on toward heaven against wind and weather and the tempest. Ah, friends, mighty enemies without, much mightier within. Oh, if Jesus' blood is your only plea, he will keep. He will keep. And bring you safe to him at last. Ah, friends, there's no ifs and buts, are there, about our text. There's no maybes. There's no conditions. Ah, friends, he doesn't say he will keep if A, B and C, but no. Ah, friends, here is an unconditional promise. Ah, here is an unconditional word concerning his people. He will keep. He will keep the feet of his saints. And he'll bring us at last to stand in his tabernacle above forever. Ah, to sit with him in his throne. Oh, and to sing the praise of Him who loved us and purchased us with His own precious blood and has kept us from first to last and brought us at last to be with Him in glory. He will keep the feet of His saints. There's no other way, friends. Ah, on Christ a solid rock I stand, said the hymn writer. All other ground is sinking sand. Every other way leads astray. There's no other way, but in Him is eternal safety. He will keep the feet of His saints. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn 772. Hymn 772 to the tune of Milon 189. The first line of this hymn was brought to my mind before breakfast this morning. Christ is the keeper of His saints. He guards them by His power, subdues their numerous complaints in every gloomy hour. What though they fear each dread alarm, tried and severely tossed, held by the Saviour's mighty arm, none can e'er be lost. He'll lead them on fair Zion's road, though weary, weak and faint. For oh, they ne'er shall lose their God, or God e'er lose a saint. Hymn 772, tune Milan 189. Amen.
forgive all what's been amiss in the worship of thy house here this afternoon. We bless, Lord, thy word. Bless the hymns that we've sung together. Oh, may there be a few here this afternoon that are found dependent alone upon thee, seeking, Lord, thy leading and thy guiding, and trusting alone in thee at last to bring them safe to glory. Oh, may we prove, Lord, the fullness of the glorious promise, he will keep the feet of his saints. Part us, Lord, in thy blessing. Grant journey and mercies on our way, Lord. Grant help throughout the remainder of this thy day. Help us to keep the days unto thee. Be with us in thy house this evening. Grant help, Lord, in preaching and hearing. Oh, be with us throughout the remainder of our journey here below. Prepare us, Lord, for our end. And oh, bring us safe, Lord, into that reward at last. Forgive out every sin, we'd ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Now may the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.